Welcome to Simple Living Works, episodes 96 and 97. I'm Jerry Iverson. It's my pleasure to be your host with my guest, Shane Claiborne. If you're new to this podcast and would like more basic information about Simple Living Works, please listen through clear to the end. If you're a regular, you may want to say goodbye at my cue. And who's Shane Claiborne? From working alongside Mother Teresa in Calcutta to founding The Simple Way in inner city Philadelphia, Shane is a best-selling author, renowned activist, sought-after speaker, and self-proclaimed recovering sinner. Tony and Shane Uncut, the complete dialogue in 8 episodes between Tony Campolo and Shane Claiborne on simpler living and global justice, became the DVD Simply Enough, reissued by World Vision Canada as Choose Justice. Tony and Shane Uncut is episodes 20 through 27, back in 2014 of this podcast, available at simplelivingworks.org, window number 3. Now, in part 1, we catch up on the Simple Way community, the newer Red Letter Christians movement, and in part 2, we talk about Shane's latest book, Executing Grace, How the Death Penalty Killed Jesus, and Why It's Killing Us, and numerous other ways that Shane is spreading the message of simpler, just living. Here's Shane, recently recorded. Moving on now to your most recent book, Executing Grace, How the Death Penalty Killed Jesus and Why It's Killing Us. I've worked here in California to get the death penalty removed, and I've discovered a number of things in that process. Not only theologically, but also practically. I mean, the arguments made, for example, that it's less expensive to keep someone in jail for their whole life than it is to kill them. I found also a lot of what I would call just bloodlust, that there's this just such a strong need for revenge when it in terms of the death penalty. So why don't you talk to us a little bit about the different kinds of justice, you know, retributive justice and restorative justice. I think you'd address those in your book.
Yeah, thanks. Well, I think that the death penalty for me really got on my radar because it raises so many other really important questions. And, you know, I want to say up front that I spent a lot of my life on the other side of this issue in favor of capital punishment. And it's also true of me, and I think of many people, that I didn't really think a lot about it. And the more we learn, often the more troubled we become. And as a Christian in the South, in the Bible Belt too, I was very convinced that the death penalty was ordained by God and had its roots in Scripture, and that was a very legitimate thing for Christians to stand behind. And so what really happened for me is first I started getting to know people who were directly affected by the death penalty, because I think sometimes we talk about issues without talking directly with the people that are so affected by them. I got to know murder victims' family members, many of whom were passionately against the death penalty. And that didn't fit the narrative, you know, because we always hear, well, what about justice for the victims? And here I was meeting many victims who saw their closest loved ones killed and endured some of the most horrific tragedies I've ever heard of in my life, and yet they walked away with the real conviction that violence was the disease, not the cure. You know, that the death penalty just extended trauma and created more victims and perpetuated violence. And then I got to know folks that were wrongfully convicted, and we now have you know, some 160 or more people that have been wrongfully convicted and sentenced to death. For every 9 executions, we've had 1 exoneration. That's a stunning statistic. You know, you think of every 10 planes that took off, 1 crashed. You know, we would stop flying for a while, I think. But that's the case with the death penalty. Every 9 executions, we've had 1 person exonerated who was wrongfully sentenced to death. And then, you know, there were other things I didn't even think about, like what it does to the people who are left with the terrible work of carrying out an execution. And I interviewed for Executing Grace, Ron McAndrew, who was a prison, he's now a former prison warden, but his job was to oversee executions, and he was absolutely haunted by it. And he's still one that really believes in being, you know, hard on crime, but he said that the death penalty is just altogether something different. There's no good way to kill someone, and it does something to us when we do. And he's become a expert, actually, on cruel and unusual punishment. So there's all these different, you know, stories. You know, the thing that's so troubling about the death penalty is that it has survived in America not in spite of Christians, but because of us. Wherever Christians are most concentrated is where executions continue to happen. I mean, that's a very troubling fact. You know, 85% of executions in the last 40 years have been in the Bible Belt. One of my friends says the Bible Belt is the death belt. So you would think that folks who are known for our passion about redemption and grace, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us so that we might die, you know, we might be spared death. So all of that, you know, that's why I wrote a book to kind of unpack some of that, because I think the death penalty kind of allows us to see some of the deep wounds of our world, and also the hope for what will really truly heal those wounds. And you mentioned restorative justice, and I think it's worth saying that as you kind of look at scripture, we use the word justice all the time and throw it around, you know, justice for victims, we need justice, but the biblical concept of justice and righteousness are very embedded in one another, and the concept of justice in the Bible is not the way that we are often conditioned to think of it. With, like, our criminal justice system, we think, what did the person do wrong, what crime did they do, and what punishment do they deserve for that crime? And God's justice in Scripture is actually a very different flavor from that. And what it is concerned about is what harm was done, and how do we heal that harm? How do we right the wrongs that were done to a person or a community? And that idea of restorative justice is very much about healing the wounds. So I think, you know, it's a beautiful kind of new way for some folks to begin thinking about what true justice looks like, because it also holds out the hope that God's justice is about healing those who have been victims, and also those who have been victimizers, that God's healing the oppressed and the oppressors, and we've got to, you know, allow that to be the case.
And the when we're talking about the oppressed and the oppressors, we're not assuming that the person who's been convicted is the only oppressor. The person who's been convicted may have been the one that's been oppressed.
Yeah, Henry Nouwen had a beautiful line. He says, if we look closely in the eyes of the oppressed, we can see our own face. And in the hands of the oppressors, we can see our own hands. And so I think that's part of what I think Jesus really teaches us when he says, let the one who is without sin cast the first stone, is that none of us are above reproach, and none of us are beyond redemption. And when you look at, like you're kind of alluding to, when you look at the folks who have done some really horrific things, you look closely at their life, and it is just heartbreaking, some of these stories. I was just reading the story of a man as he was facing his execution, and how deeply he was abused as a child, to the point that he had to wear feminine hygiene products in his underwear because of how badly he was sexually abused. And then you see how that surfaced at a different point in his life. And then, you know, in the end of the story is an execution, and you kind of go, my gosh, can't we do better than that? You know, can't grace get the last word? Can't there be some hope for healing of the wounds rather than just having this person that has lived a really tortured life then be executed? And to do that in a way that doesn't at all cheapen the other victims that may have suffered from the harm that he was responsible for. But yeah, and so I think that that's where we really get to a point where we go, we can do better than killing to show that killing is wrong. Like, I think anything, anytime we turn to violence, we disgrace the cross and the way of Jesus, who teaches us, I think, who came to heal the world of all violence and does that even up to the very last moment on the cross when he says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing, even to the folks that are about to take his own life.
Well, thank you, Shane, for every one of your books. I'd like to talk about a little different approach for those who don't feel they can make a commitment to read a book. There are other ways to be involved. For example, I notice you have a beautiful series of T-shirts. And the one that I bought from the Simple Way store, it just says Distress, and it has the U.S. flag upside down.
Why doesn't it surprise me, Jerry, that that's the one you picked? No, I think it's great, though. That's exactly why we did that, was to, we said the line of T-shirts is for such a time as this, you know, and so that's... we tried to have messages that are important to our time. And, you know, the official flag code is that the flag can be flown upside down in times of distress. But we also have shirts, you know, with the entire Sermon on the Mount on it that says, what if Jesus really meant the stuff he said? And we've got one with the prayer of Francis, you know, where there's hatred, let me bring love. Where there's darkness, let me shine light. And so, yeah, it's a fun bunch of shirts. They create a job for my friend here in the neighborhood. So, yeah, they're beautiful shirts for such a time as this.
Right. I think, you know, we as Christians can be just a lot more overt about what we're about. And one way to do that is to wear a T-shirt with a message on it and not to be quite so shy about what we're about. Well,
yeah.
Tell us now, and I don't want you to divulge too much, but you know, what's in store for the next 5 years for Shane Claiborne, for The Simple Way, for Red Letter Christians?
Yeah, for sure. Well, we've got a lot of stuff going on in the neighborhood, and if folks want to track our local work, you can just go to thesimpleway.org and check out what we're doing. We've got some beautiful programs and relationships that we got going on, and we're doing some housing stuff where we're renovating abandoned houses and turning them into beautiful homes for families here that need them. So there's that side. And then the Red Letter Christians work is redletterchristians.org. There's all kinds of incredible voices on our website there. And I do have a project that I'll be working on over the next year, which is around gun violence and just kind of the epidemic of violence in general in our world. But I'm going to be working with my friends with Raw Tools, which is war flipped around, rawtools.org. They're blacksmiths that melt guns down and turn them into plows and garden tools. So we're going to tell some of the stories and have some images of that, and then I'm going to write some of our content around reflecting on a world full of violence. It's a beautiful prophetic image, you know, that Mike and Isaiah said God's people will beat their swords into plows and their spears into pruning hooks, and people will study violence no more. So that's what one of the things I'll be working on, and you can know that that's on the horizon. And folks can follow me on, I'm real active on Facebook and Twitter, just my name, Shane Claiborne.
And will you continue publishing Conspire magazine?
We've got a lot of great issues of Conspire that we still have available on our website, right with the t-shirts, just thesimpleway.org there. We've got a little store section. So we've got some great issues. What we did was we partnered with a couple other magazines that are great. And I would encourage folks to check them out. The Plow Magazine, P-L-O-U-G-H, Plow Magazine is a great magazine that's out right now, along with G's Magazine, G-E-E-Z. So we've teamed up with them. And there's other, you know, great magazines out there, Sojourners and other groups. So we decided, you know, we'll just team up with those folks to support the other magazines. So and part of that was so that we can really hone in on our local work here. And so we're putting all our resources into the neighborhood that we can.
Indeed. Well, Shane, thank you. And thank you for your speaking tours. It's good to see you from time to time. I assume that you're going to continue doing that.
Yeah, man, I'm traveling about 10 days a month right now, and that's steady and feels good. So I'll hope we see you and other folks listening as we travel. All my schedule's up on my website, so you can see it there, shaneclaiborne.com. That's a lot of websites that we just listed off, but they're all linked up. You can find me. I hope to see everybody as I travel around, and there's a lot of beautiful stuff happening out there. So thanks for being a part of that, Jerry. I appreciate all you're doing.
I understand you've gotten married.
Yeah.
And so your spouse is part of your community there in the Simple Way?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yep, going great. Yep. We just got chickens for our backyard. So we got five little baby chicks, and we built a chicken coop. So that's been fun. We're building a little urban homestead, I guess you could say. Katie does most of the work. She's an incredible farmer and gardener in our yard here. So we'll have some eggs, and we got a lot of wonderful vegetables and fruits growing everywhere, and herbs and everything. So it's a good time.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Well, thanks again, Shane. Be well.
Yeah, man. Hope I get to see you before too long, man. So thanks for reaching out, and we'll connect soon.
I hope so. Bye now.
Hey, buddy. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to my conversation with Shane Claiborne, co-founder of The Simple Way, author, and speaker. Tony and Shane Uncut, episodes 20 through 27 of this podcast, is available at simpleLivingWorks.org, window number 3. Click on Backup. To learn how that powerful dialogue came to be, listen to episode number 3, The Saugut of Simply Enough. Our hope is that you will be so motivated by this series that you will want to share the message with others in your congregation or group. Order a copy of the DVD, Choose Justice, with this extensive discussion guide from the store at thesimpleway.org for only $10. It is also available from World Vision Canada and from Tony Campolo's store. See pictures of our crew in Philadelphia producing the original and links to the bonus segments. To get better acquainted with Tony and Shane and their ministries, follow the links in the show notes of those earlier episodes. You're welcome to share your thoughts on these subjects. Email a message to simplelivingworks@yahoo.com, on our Facebook page, or on the Simple Living Works blog. Those addresses are given in the show notes at our website, simplelivingworks.org. Click window number 3. Also, it really helps our visibility when you give Simple Living Works a 5-star review on iTunes. Well, we have lots of news. My colleague Lee Van Ham's new book has been released. Lee is the executive director of Jubilee One Earth Economics, entitled From Egos to Eden, Our Heroic Journey to Keep Earth Livable, is volume 2 of Lee's trilogy called Eden for the 21st Century. I've read an advanced copy, reviewed it, and highly recommend it. Lee and I talked about volume 1, Blinded by Progress, and volume 2 on podcasts. The links to those episodes are given in the show notes. Need a nudge? I've been producing Today's Simpler Living Nudge for over a year and welcome to you subscribe for free. receive it by email or Twitter. Just send me an email with the subject nudge at simplelivingworks@yahoo.com. I've received lots of interesting responses, which you can read on simplelivingworks.org. Click on recent comments in window number 5, or see the link in the show notes. We've simplified our blogs for this year. The weekly Nudge focuses only on the efforts of Simple Living Works. The weekly Digest includes the latest posts from colleague organizations. Both come with a free subscription to our Simple Living Works blog. The much more complete, almost obsessively detailed monthly Digest is now updated at least once a week and kept on the Simple Living Works site. Links to the monthly digest are given to both the weekly nudge and the weekly digest. We hope you'll check it out, but we don't want you to be overwhelmed by the amount of help available toward a life of voluntary simplicity, which young adults now are inclined to call minimalism. Time to wrap up this episode of Simple Living Works Podcast. If you're new to Simple Living Works Podcast and would like more basic information about Simple Living Works, please listen a little longer. If you're a regular, you may want to say goodbye here. Peace. If you haven't subscribed yet, we hope you will now through iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast service. Remember, you can listen to all episodes of the podcast. They're archived twice. Access them at simplelivingworks.org, window number 3. Click Preview, Backup, and choose the episodes you want with or without show notes. Subscription to this podcast and our weekly blogs are free, and they keep you current automatically when we post something new. Urge your friends to do the same. Remember to like us on Facebook. You can also subscribe in iTunes to my other podcast, The Common Good Podcast, which I produce and co-host with Jubilee One Earth Economics. Send us your email address to receive the free monthly Simple Living Works e-news. Thanks to the band Earth Mama and to John Pitney for the music on our show. This podcast is covered by the Creative Commons Non-Commercial Attribution Share-Alike license. To learn more about Creative Commons, click on its link on our website homepage. We do not solicit nor accept donations, nor do we sell anything. All our resources and services are free of charge. We're an all-volunteer organization. We at Simple Living Works believe that simple living really does work. Voluntary simplicity, choosing to live simpler lives, is a faithful, satisfying, effective, comprehensive way of life. It's not a list of rules nor living on the cheap. It avoids fads, convenience, and deprivation. It's so much more than a hobby. We believe in abundance, that there's enough for everybody's needs, not anybody's greed. We follow the saying, live simply, that others may simply live, as our closing theme song proclaims. It's a balance of personal responsibility and advocacy for just public policy. It's more than personal happiness, though that's quite important. As you may sense, we put a strong emphasis on social justice. Contemporary faith-based simple living is guided by the 5 life standards of Living More with Less, the classic by Doris Jansen Longacre. I've discussed these standards in earlier episodes. The mission of Simple Living Works is equipping people of faith to challenge consumerism, live justly, and celebrate responsibly. We extend the mission and resources of the nonprofit organization Alternatives, which served from 1973 through 2011. The 3 parts of our mission are elaborated in text and video. Links are listed in the show notes. We produce a half-hour podcast twice a month, hopefully educational and inspiring for you, your family, and your congregation or group. Until next time, this is Jerry Iverson of Simple Living Works Podcast, wishing you well as we strive to challenge consumerism, live justly, and celebrate responsibly.
Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can live. Come everyone who has thirst, those who have nothing come buy. Why spend your labor for things that simply do not satisfy. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can live. The bread in your cupboard belongs to hungry out there, and the coats in your closet unused could warm up the ones who stand bare. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can live. See how the wealth you acquire is borne on the backs of the poor, whose children beg daily for food, whose land feeds your child who wants more. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can live. Your children who need their own rooms lament that the forest will die, and those who would join field to field must stop long enough to ask why. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can live. God chose the weak of the world to shame the way of the strong. Learn how to live from the poor. Their wisdom will help us belong. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can live. Do not conform to the world. Be certain that better's not more. Contentment will transform your need, awakening what God has in store. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can live.